On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
I'm going to tell y'all, with a tear in my eye, this is the greatest moment in my life. When you walk around this world and you tell everybody you're number one, the only way you get to stay number one is to be number one. And this is the only title in the wrestling world that makes you number one when you are the king of the WWF. You rule the world. Think about it like that, Mr. Perfect.
Guys, we're on the wagon.
Woo! Woo!
We did it.
Woo! Let's give a big one.
Woo! I'm not sure what the this is. I'm about to find out.
This is Tall Can Audio.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome into Talk In Audio number 782. My name's Matt Robinson in our studio in beautiful Bytown, Canada. We are on Twitter and Instagram at Talk In Audio, Facebook.com/Talk In Audio, and we have hit what has traditionally been one of my favorite weeks of the year in the wrestling world. A lot of people talk about SummerSlam as the number two show of the year. For me, it was always the Royal Rumble. And I needed somebody to talk a little wrestling with me. And when it's time to do that, it's time to turn to Kevin Mickey of Sportsnet. How's it going, man?
Matt, it's going, wait for it, spectacular now.
This guy's a pro guest, man. This guy has been here a time or two. He knows what we like to do. So it's good to have you back on the show, man. I'm doing all right. What are we drinking today?
Well, actually, I just got a real pleasant surprise in the mail right before we started taping. My sister lives out in Langley, British Columbia, and I told her that there's a brewery that I heard about is great out there called Moody Ales.
Okay.
And I said, if you ever buy there, some people that I follow on Instagram have said how great it is. I said, pick me up some beers and send me them.
Yep.
So I got that shipment today.
Wow.
It was quite just a fantastic
serendipitous
surprise,
man.
to walk up to on the porch, and there are those beers sitting there. So I have a what's called a flamingosa, and it's a gosa that's made with grapefruit peel, apparently. So it's not
made from flamingo. That's
no, well, I don't know. You don't know what they're doing in DC. They're doing some crazy shit.
Yeah.
Anyways, and live taste test here.
Okay. See, I like this. See, I'm always worried about the beer mail thing. The beer mail is always welcome, but
holy fuck, that's good. Woo!
Okay, that is a live reaction.
Golly, that is tasty. All right, here we go now. Yeah, the Flamingosa, courtesy of Moody Ales in Port Moody, British Columbia, and it is tasty.
Give us it's a ghost. Is the fruit coming through? Is the beer coming through? What are you getting most there?
It's honestly really half and half. That's what it feels like. It's not, neither flavor is overbearing.
Okay.
It's really good. So if I'm going to rate this out of 5, I'm giving this like a 4.2. It's real tasty.
Do you do the Untappd thing?
I don't. I used to, but I couldn't keep up. I wasn't diligent enough.
I come in and out with it, right?
Yeah.
The beer mail thing though, it scares me a little. I'm always worried if it's left outside that, like, if it's clearly beer, that's not going to survive, right? Like, somebody's going to off with that in a hurry. And then here in Ontario, if you're doing those, you know, beer of the month clubs or whatever, a lot of them now aren't doing like door to door delivery. Like, you actually have to go pick it up. And I'm like trying to limit my times I go out. So, and I know it's hit and miss. Sometimes I'll come to your door or whatever. So, you try anything else good lately? Something local? Anything over the holidays? Any breweries you want to rave about?
Sure. Recently, a few months ago now, near the end of 2020, Collective Arts, which is a Hamilton brewery, they picked up a spot in Toronto near Trinity Bellwoods Park on Dundas Street. And they have been making some, they make their traditional beers, but then they've also been brewing some stuff on site. And I don't know any other brewery, particularly in the GTA, that makes as many sour beers as they do.
Okay.
They have tons of sour beers.
Eh?
So, and a lot of pretty true. So they have their one standard sour beer, which is called Jam Up the Mash. And then they do a bunch of takes on that. They do different types of fruit in it or different types of just additions to it. And Collective Arts, I've been a very, 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 I've been very impressed with that brewery since they moved in. Usually when I'll try and I'll make an excuse, I'll be like, oh, I'll take my dog for a walk downtown. And they'll be like, oh, look, I'm near the brewery. I guess I'll go in and pick up some beers.
I'm always looking for stuff in the show to make a title for the podcast. We're not going to do any better than Jam Up the Mash. So that's what we'll
it kind of works for wrestling too.
Sure, why not?
It's a bit of a Jam Up the Mash in the Rumble.
Yeah, exactly. So that'll be the title for episode 782. I'm into the cream ale from the Vimy Brewing Company, and nice. They're local out of Ottawa. And I've had them a bunch of times, and people have heard me mention Vimy quite a bit on the pod because I have a keg fridge in the studio, and it most often contains their stout. I think Vimy's stout is maybe the best stout in Ontario. So I love that, and so I get large portions of it delivered at a time and then just keep it on tap in the studio. But this is their cream ale. It's one, maybe the only thing they have that that I hadn't tried before. So that's what I'm going with today. If I'm being honest, it might be a little bland, but I mean, I'm used to their darker stuff, right? And their red is really good, and their stout is really good. There's nothing wrong with this, but I'm not a cream ale guy to begin with necessarily, but I still wanted to try this. Love the guys over at Vimy. And if a cream ale is your thing, I'm sure you'd enjoy this, but maybe just not quite my style. That's all.
Well, yeah, I'm not a huge cream ale guy myself. It's, you know, they're fine. They're fine from time to time. I do enjoy a nice stout during the wintertime, though.
Yeah.
Perfect, perfect wintertime beer. Left Field Brewery has another really good stout that they do often. There's also an oatmeal stout that they have called Ethos.
Oh, I've had that. That's a great beer.
Really, really good beer. They've got a few different, they've got like a chocolate marshmallow type stout as well, which is real tasty. You know, it's a good cold night beer.
Yeah.
Really, yeah. You know, have a nice beer by the fire. Enjoy yourself.
My buddy Matty Lang, who comes on here now and then to talk about the Raptors, he's all about the Left Field Brewery. He's always singing their praise. So
my favorite brewery in Toronto.
Nice.
They're fantastic.
I want to ask you quite a bit about the Rumble here, but before we get into that, in some interesting news, I guess I was kind of perplexed by this. Maybe you weren't, and maybe you'd seen this was coming. For those unfamiliar, the WWE has their own streaming service. It's called the WWE Network, and it has a live channel that has programming all the time, 24/7. There's a lot of repeats in there, but it also, you know, it's unique stuff that you can't find anywhere else, and then they run their pay-per-views over there. So instead of back in the day, if you used to be more into wrestling than you are now, instead of it being 30 or 40 or 50 bucks or whatever for a pay-per-view, you now pay your 10 bucks a month subscription and you would get the pay-per-views over there. But one of the cool things that went along with it was this back catalog of, similar to Netflix, you scroll through, you can watch the Royal Rumble from any year you want. You can watch old Raw episodes or crazy old Saturday night main event stuff, like literally anything you can think of, you could find it on there. And I think they were banking on the idea that that was going to be their future, was we'll have our own channel and it'll support itself and we'll have enough subscribers that at $9.99 or whatever it is up here in Canada.
Yeah, I think it's a little more. It's a little more than that now. They had to raise the price as every single streaming service does.
It was cool. I had it for a while. I enjoyed it, and I watched more old stuff than the new stuff at the time, but it was fun. And at some point, I think I was subscribed through iTunes, and then I got bumped off of that. I think that might have been a problem with your employer who wanted me subscribed through them. I don't know exactly what happened there, and I just never went back. But it was really cool. But I was surprised to see that at least in the U.S., it's now been sold to, or at least the rights to it, have been sold for 5 years to NBC, I'm not crazy. It's $1 billion for the 5 years, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Yeah. So were you, look, we don't know at this point what that's going to mean up here in Canada, but were you surprised to see that this is, and I guess I should say NBC is working this in with their new streaming service, Peacock, that is responsible for taking Friends and The Office and these sorts of things off of Netflix if you're upset about that. So Peacock makes a move there. NBC and their parent company is also the company that owns USA Network that airs Monday Night Raw and their minor league show, which is NXT on Wednesdays. So there is a partnership between WWE and NBC Universal. But were you surprised to see that they offloaded this to Peacock and allowed it to become part of someone else's streaming service?
I'm not necessarily surprised, no. I feel like this was the long game that WWE was playing. I'm just not sure that this... It seemed like it happened before they anticipated it would happen.
Right.
WWE, say what you will, if you still tune into the product every now and again and you say, I'm not such a fan, or it's not what it used to be, WWE can sell their product based on what they used to be, and that's exactly what you're getting from the WWE Network and their incredibly huge content catalog going over to Peacock now. It's such a massive, massive content acquisition, and you're bringing over a million plus subscribers. I think that's where they are right now.
Yep.
Or at least they're hoping to, that the deal is, I think it's justifiable how much money they're paying. Because a lot of people, when you're picking that up, if you're picking up the WWE Network, you're not watching for the This Week in WWE recaps. You're watching because you want to go back. You have the opportunity to go back and watch World Class Championship Wrestling, AWA, Mid-South Wrestling, Monday Smoky Nitros. Mountain Wrestling, old WCW Nitros. I did that a few years ago. I went back and I watched like a year's worth of Nitros in a row. You can do all of that, and that is the appeal in what WWE has now. If you don't necessarily have to be a fan of the product currently to enjoy what they're selling to you concurrently, which is old stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm not necessarily surprised that it happened. I'm more surprised that it happened this quickly, because it seemed like it was a longer game plan that they were playing, but here we are. Vinnie Mac is raking in the dough once again.
And it might sound crazy to you if you're not a hardcore wrestling fan, that people, but how many times, like, the number one watched show on Netflix was The Office. Like, people aren't necessarily clamoring for whatever the newest thing this year was. If you're willing to stream How I Met Your Mother or Friends or whatever your favorite show might be on Netflix, why would you be surprised that a wrestling fan wouldn't want to go back and watch their favorite episodes of Monday Night Raw from when they were most into it? Or, like you said, Nitro, or even further back, right, into those old regional catalogs from the 70s and 80s and stuff. So there is a ton of content there. I wonder what you think of the fact that this has now been offloaded to somebody else. Those subscriptions are going to come via Peacock no matter what WWE does. Does this limit their interest in continuing to, whether it be current or old stuff, create new content just for the network? Because they're locked in now. They're $200 million a year for the next 5 years, no matter what they do. Do you think it hurts the idea that, you know, we got to keep building the network into this gargantuan machine that they had always hoped it would be?
I don't think so necessarily. I imagine, I don't know the contract details, but I imagine that NBC signed something with WWE saying you have to make X amount of new programming every quarter, or half a year or something like that. I'm assuming that they say you have to make this in order to keep people invested, because if I subscribe to the network for a year down in the States via Peacock, and I watch Royal Rumble 99, and then I watch some other stuff that I enjoy, and then I say, well, what else am I going to watch now? I don't really care anymore. And then they say, oh, well, we have this new stuff that's all about, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin interviewing these old guys. You know, this is brand new.
Yep.
You say, oh, you know, I'll tune into this then. So in order to keep somebody interested and keep their monthly payment just going down on their Visa, you got to keep offering them something. And I imagine that NBC and WWE, they have to know that. So they're going to keep pumping out new content despite the, they're getting money to provide a service. WWE is. So they're going to keep providing that service.
Right. Last thing on this, and we're only speculating, but that's half the fun of doing a podcast is we can do that. There's no journalistic integrity here. Up here in Canada, this is sort of a distant thing. The WWE network is distributed through Rogers, and then they pass it down to your satellite or cable provider, whether you want to subscribe online or subscribe through your conventional television. So they have a separate deal with Rogers. And eventually, that could change when that runs up and they move to a streaming service, or whether Peacock moves up here, which right now it's not available. I wonder in a more, you know, overarching sense, and if I could just paint the picture for the more casual listener for a second, you have Monday Night Raw, as I mentioned, on USA Network, a property of NBC. You have the developmental show on Wednesday night, NXT, that's also on the USA Network, owned by NBC. And then now this outlier of Friday Night SmackDown, which is on Fox. And Fox, that deal can't be more than 2 years old.
Yeah, it's just over a year old, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Year
so
and a half.
That was a huge content acquisition for Fox. And now you wonder, you know, as Michael Cole and the commentary team is going to be telling people for the next 5 years, and I don't know how long the Fox deal is, tune into the Royal Rumble this Sunday on Peacock. How long is Fox going to want WWE advertising, you know, an NBC property on their airwaves? And that contract is what it is long term. But do you think down the road when that Fox deal runs out that this maybe hurts Fox's interest and almost paints WWE into having to go with NBC? Do you think this is a long term thing where NBC becomes so involved with WWE that when Vince McMahon does pass on, that they're the most likely, you know, maybe they buy the company outright if they're going to end up owning all the properties? Like, can you see some, like, to me, there's an end game here that almost looks like at some point NBC Universal owns the WWE down the road.
I'll say that I think that the sun is going to have to envelop the earth before the McMahon family sells WWE.
Wow, okay. I like that.
I will say that. yeah, let me have a couple more beers and then I'll get a little more forward with you. In terms of the Fox and Peacock being together running the same products, I mean, when you're making money, you can be friendly bedfellows.
Sure.
And I relate it to, because they're doing it right now on Friday nights. They say, you know, this Monday on Raw, tune in, Drew McIntyre will be defending the WWE Championship. And then on Raw, they say, this Friday night SmackDown on Fox, sure, you get to see Kevin Owens and the big dog, Roman Reigns.
Yes.
It's something, I equate it to the NFL saying that we have these games for you this upcoming Sunday or on Sunday, the early slate of 1 o'clock games in the Eastern time zone, saying, at 4 o'clock, you can tune into the Green Bay Packers playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 4:25 on Fox. You can also watch the LA Chargers playing the Kansas City Chiefs at 4:25 on CBS.
Right.
This Sunday night, you can also watch Team X and Team Y on NBC. Mm-hmm. The NFL knows that it has multiple TV partners, and they are comfortable with asking their TV partners to promote their other games that will be on other channels. WWE is very similar in that regard. And if you say that we have two TV partners and we need you guys to promote each other, because that ultimately will contribute to the health of the product and will ultimately keep people coming back to watch the product. So I don't think it's so crazy that Fox is somewhat of an outlier, because I agree they somewhat are now. It just makes sense to me that they're going to continue to promote the product because they want those eyeballs down the road.
Right.
I could see Peacock being the sole home of WWE in the United States.
Yeah.
They could say Friday, Wednesday, Monday, Sunday during pay-per-views, there's one there's one spot that you have to go, and it's Peacock. And that wouldn't surprise me down the road, you know, when the Fox deal runs out 2024, I think it is.
Yeah.
Then I could definitely see that Peacock taking all the rights to WWE, but the person controlling those rights or the people will be the McMahon family. Whether Vince is still there, Vince is going to live till he's 110. Yes, I'm positive.
Still just being jacked, right?
Exactly. He'll be on the cover of Muscle and Fitness when he's 100. He'll be the first centurion or whatever the hell the term is to grace the cover of Muscle and Fitness. Yeah. So I imagine that WWE will always be controlled by the McMahons, and they will distribute their content for the highest bidder. Business-wise, it makes sense to put it all in one spot. People are able to access it all in one spot.
But you do lose your leverage then, right? Like, once you're all into Peacock and then your next round of negotiations for Raw come around, is anybody lining up to go, yeah, we'll be the one-off? Like, right now it works with Fox. Will anybody line up to be, we'll compete to take one of your three or four properties and be the, you know, so redheaded stepchild? I don't know.
Business-wise, I mean, the NHL is about to go through something similar in the States, where the NHL, their sole national rights provider is NBC, but NBCSN, their sports channel, is shutting down.
Yep.
So the NHL is most likely going to be looking at distributing their product via multiple TV partners, and that is based on the fact that they've definitely, their brand has become far more valuable than when they first sold these rights for what seems like, you know, pennies. Honestly, in terms of business deal, it was like $200 million or something like that. Yep. Like, it was, and then you see the NBA getting like $5 billion or whatever they got. So the NHL is in turn for a huge raise. So if the WWE product can captivate viewers, can continue to entertain people, and can build their brand, which is very key.
Yep.
They already have an incredibly strong brand. If they can build their current brand, then who's to say that when the rights come up for any of their shows, they can't say, you can still go to Peacock to get our stuff, but you know what? This time, CBS is going to, or whatever, sure, the Food Network is going to be airing NXT or something like that.
Yeah.
You never know. I think the WWE brand is so strong that I feel like they're from now on, they will always have leverage. That brand, no matter what you think of the product, no matter what you think of the show, like we talked about earlier, based on the success of their brand in the past, and they can keep trotting out the fact that, like, you can watch every single Royal Rumble, every single WrestleMania, that will always, always mean money in the bank.
Yeah, no, I like the tie in there.
Yeah, the wrestling show, huh? Yeah.
I think that's going to be a fascinating story to follow. I think there's going to be some, you know, as you, I guess, referenced it, uneasy bedfellows or strange bedfellows. Uneasy bedfellows paints a whole picture. I'm not sure we need to get into. But I think it's an interesting story to follow, and I'm kind of a geek for the sports media properties and the stuff that goes into that, and WWE is no different. So
yeah, I know, I love the sports business side of things. Like, I'm a big fan of, well, he works for Sportsnet now, but like Richard Deitch, yeah, I really enjoy his podcast and his
tell
work
him to come
Athletic.
On, man. Like, go up, you're in the same building with him from time to time. Go tap him on the shoulder. Tell him Tall Can Audio, man. Because
I'm in the same building as almost no one from time to time.
Well,
now,
there is that. And I did want to start the show with that. Somehow I got myself carried away here. Before we move on to the Royal Rumble itself, what do things look like in your neck of the woods right now? Because in a sports landscape type place, things don't seem that unusual on television, right? The NBA is running. The NHL is running. The NFL just had a huge weekend as they gear up for the Super Bowl. Obviously, things are very different, but in your world of you know, working for Sportsnet and putting these productions together, what does your day-to-day look like, and has it come anywhere close to approaching normal yet for you?
Not a lot of normal going on behind the scenes, I'll tell you that. I will tell you that I go into the office as little as I can. and Sportsnet
is... So you're like any other employee.
Yeah.
Non-pandemic times, if I don't have to be there, I don't want to be there.
Sportsnet is calling in their employees as little as they possibly can.
Right.
With my specific job, so my main job with Sportsnet, you know, I do the stuff on Aftermath, I write about WWE, mm-hmm. I do some audio work here and there, yada, yada. But my main job is behind-the-scenes production, highlight packs, things for Sportsnet Central, the stuff like that. So generally, we have to be there for that. That's kind of a necessity to be there to help turn around highlights, right. to turn around content that goes on Sportsnet Central. It's way, way easier and far better in terms of workflow to be there mm-hmm. To turn the stuff around. Having said that, Rogers, I'd like to blow smoke up my employer because I think that they're doing a really, really good job in terms of helping protect employees when they're there, trying to keep everybody safe. You know, they're taking all the protocols into effect. It's been unique. It's been different. And I think that, like you said, things look sort of normal in front of the camera. So I'd say that's kudos to Sportsnet for sure. making things appear somewhat normal. Yeah. So you're not feeling like you're watching something that's, you're not stressed out watching a television program being like, are they being safe? Is everyone okay? So Sportsnet's doing a really good job in that regard. Like I feel very safe when I go in. And it's comfortable going in too, especially you get to see people now and again that you don't see super often. So in that regard, it's nice to see faces.
Sure.
Because we don't see a lot of that these days.
No. I guess just for an example, and I'll share it. It's going to be a little out of date, but I thought you did a great job with it. Before the Leafs and Habs played on opening night, there was a great video package that Sportsnet put together, and you voiced it. I thought you weren't nearly hard enough on the Habs, but there was probably a script there that you had to follow. So I'll give you the benefit of the doubt there. Something like that, is that something that they might ask you to do from home, or is that an in-house production? Like, could you do a voiceover like that from home and have it, you know, then someone else somewhere else put that together, or is that all in-house like it would be any other time?
So that I produced, that I voiced from home.
Okay.
That I have the capability to voice anything from home. The microphone that I'm using right now to talk to you mm-hmm. Is actually provided by Sportsnet. So they gave me the tools to do some voicing here. It's not like I have a professional sound booth.
Right.
It's like I put my microphone in front of my computer and then like I put like a yoga mat in front of me. And then like I try and create. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happens. You try and create the best sound booth that you possibly can.
Right.
I do that from home. I tweeted out a few days yesterday or 2 days ago. Let's say I tweeted out recently,
okay.
Because this isn't coming out today. A video that a high pack that I recorded Sunday, and that was done at the office.
Okay,
so you know, highlight packs I generally voice from the office, but I do have the capability to voice them from home, and that's highlight packs that'll air on the website and on Sportsnet 360.
Right. Why don't we get back into the wrestling thing, man? Because I got to tell you, for me as a kid, and for some reason, and maybe because it was that way when I was a kid, I always held on to the Rumble and Mania were the two big ones. Mm-hmm. I know they advertise, and maybe the numbers back it up for purchases and stuff like that. I have no idea that SummerSlam is the second biggest show of the year, and it's the biggest party of the summer. All these sorts of things. I love the Rumble. It's that kickoff. Yeah, it's that kickoff to Mania season. It's a different type of show. You know, at least half of it is going to be taken up by these once-a-year type over-the-top rope matches. Were you the same way growing up? Did you love the Rumble, or did you see, I can tell already the way you were responding as I was going on, that you must have felt somewhat similarly. You know, was the Rumble a cool thing for you growing up?
Rumble's my favorite event of the year.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of wrestling fans, they feel the same way. I know that a lot of wrestling guys in the Sportsnet newsroom, they feel the exact same way. I run within Sportsnet, I run in a Rumble pool, and it's highly coveted to get into. And I have people texting me saying, are you running the Rumble pool? I'm like, it's 3 weeks out. Let's relax here. I'll send out the email, people.
I'm not
relax.
At Sportsnet, but I'm going to be sending that text.
It's, it's the Rumble is the best event of the year. It's the most fun event of the year. I know guys that host Rumble parties, other Rumble pools, gambling on the Rumble. it's the best. It's the best event of the year. It's the most unique event of the year. The most surprise can happen in this in this show. It's everything to do with the Rumble is always so much fun. The most memorable moments in WWE history, I'd say you pick, you know, the top 20, and let's say almost half of them are maybe going to come down to the Rumble and what happened. And perhaps one of the best events in WWE history, Royal Rumble 1992.
Yes.
You can consider that maybe the best pay-per-view the WWE has ever produced.
Right.
And you can say that about a lot of the Rumbles. They've been so good. And the meticulous planning that goes into it is spectacular. It is like, it's so good. And it, especially now that you have the Women's Rumble too, you get double the bestest stuff going on within within the Rumble. So it's just a lot of fun and definitely the best event of the year by, for my books.
Yeah. I think, you know, and we do, you know, no doubt have some casual, at best, wrestling fans listening.
And that's the thing, dude. You can be a casual fan. You can watch the Rumble. You know what has to happen. They mentioned it 400 times in the show. You got to go over the top rope and both feet must touch the floor.
Right. Like,
you understand the rules are so easy to understand. And it's so fun. The dudes just keep coming out. It's just different guys all the time. Spectacular.
And that's it. You have a couple of normal matches. And then if by some chance you aren't familiar, every 2 minutes, somebody else comes out in this, you know, over the top rope battle royal match. And instead of everybody starting in the ring, they count them down, you know, one and two come out and they start and then they count them down every 2 minutes or some years, every minute or some years, whatever fits. You come down until 30 guys. Right. It doesn't have to be dead on. So you come down and, you know, guys pile up and you're not eliminated till you're thrown over the top rope and both feet hit the floor. And like you said, they now do a women's one as well. And it's fun because they can book this in such a way that it's, you know, you can have a fun segment where four or five guys who come out are maybe just hardcore guys who do something crazy. And then, oh man, all of a sudden a monster like The Undertaker comes in and just cleans house on these guys. Mm-hmm. And you're always waiting. There's always a surprise or two in there. And there's some suspense built for who's going to be number 30. And there's just all kinds of stuff that they can do with that kind of show that you can't do all the time. So as a kid, for sure, it was always my favorite. And then, you know, even into my adulthood when, you know, my interest has been in and out over the years, the Rumble is always one that I want to check out. Mm-hmm. Before we take a look at this year, and you referenced 92, that's of course Ric Flair, and he cuts that promo. Are you a UFC guy?
Yeah.
Did you see 257?
Yeah. Daniel Cormier was losing his mind talking about Ric Flair.
Exactly.
Afterwards.
For those who might have missed it, Michael Chandler, he beats Dan Hooker in the co-main event and essentially cuts the Ric Flair 1992 post-Rumble promo. And
with a tear in my eye. This is the greatest day of my life.
Exactly. It was gorgeous, man. And those who knew right away, right? You recognize it. You love it. He left out the tear in my eye thing. That was disappointing. But and I don't know whether he was actually trying to copy Flair or was just that close. I think there was a lot of Flair in there. But I
just love that Cormier identified it immediately.
Exactly. And John Anik and Ariel Helwani's going nuts on Twitter with identifying it. So that was a lot of fun. Before we get into what's going to happen this year, give me one or two Rumbles or, you know, you mentioned 92 or Rumble memories or matches or ones that stick out to you that have kind of imprinted as making this such a popular event for you.
Sure. So 92, definitely fantastic. I was very, very young when that happened, but I had it on VHS afterwards.
Yeah. Okay.
And I mentioned this on Sportsnet Aftermath, the show that I do with Jimmy Corderas, Santino Marella, and Nug Nargang.
Nice.
One of the few DVD or DVDs, VHSs that I owned first were Royal Rumble 97, Royal Rumble 98, and Royal Rumble 99.
Big into the Austin stuff.
Absolutely. So Austin wins 97, 98. He's going for the third win in a row. Never happens in 1999. And he and Vince McMahon are number one, two. And I just remember Vince coming out, no entrance music either, which was spectacular. He walks out number two, and he's jacked to the fucking gills. Yes. This guy is huge.
Even then, he's got to be 55, something like that.
He's around there. And anyways, Jerry Lawler loses his mind. He's like, look at Vince. Remember loving it. The Rumble itself that year was, it was wild. It was amazing. So you had The Rock, or you had McMahon and Austin. They battle to the outside. They go under the ropes, and then they battle into the crowd. And then the corporation ends up beating the shit out of Austin. They leave him for
in the ladies' washroom, I believe.
Exactly. Yes.
Because that's awesome.
They send him to the hospital. Yeah. Anyways, then he midway through the match, the Ministry of Darkness captures somebody. I think it was like Midian or something.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And as they're taking him away, Austin comes back in the ambulance, and Vince is sitting at commentary by this point. And the look on Vince's face is priceless. Say what you will about that guy outside the wrestling ring, but as a performer, he's brilliant. He's so good. The look on his face was fantastic. And then the fact that he won the Rumble was so, it's so terrible. It's so perfect the way that it happened, and Vince is the winner of the Royal Rumble.
Well, so the way that does happen, right? Wasn't Austin? Yeah. Austin thought he'd won, had eliminated the last guy, and McMahon sneaks back into the ring, having never been eliminated, right over the top rope. He sneaks back in under, and from behind throws Austin out,
and like, Vince wins the Royal Rumble.
Hilarious.
And it's just so good. I think the storyline was, Shawn Michaels was the commissioner, and he was, Vince forfeited his spot as the winner, saying like, oh, The Rock's not going to wrestle anybody at WrestleMania.
Right.
And then Shawn Michaels said, no, I get to pick a suitable replacement, and it's Austin. So then he got Austin Rock. But anyway, yeah, that Rumble sticks out to me big time. Love, love, love that Rumble.
So I'm with you.
Rumbles.
I'm with you. And then my earliest memory, and I've seen them all since, right? As the wrestling nerd, you've gone back. I've watched them either on the network or on VHS. There was always one shelf at our old Blockbuster video in Oshawa where I grew up. And it was in like the back right corner. And then it was the bottom two shelves. That's where the wrestling stuff was. So you'd have to seek it out, right? And I would always go straight for that corner to see if there was anything new. And this might be like 1995, but all of a sudden, for the first time ever, they have the 91 Rumble. And you're like, yep, taking that and go and watch it.
Yeah, exactly. I would always go to, there was Super Video 99 in Aurora, Ontario, where I grew up, which is now like a Wild Wing or something. And they always had, you walk, I know exactly, you can still picture it too. It's funny how those old things where you still remember exactly where you had to go as a kid. So you walk in, you go to the left, and it was in the used VHS spot. And like you said, the wrestling VHSs were at the bottom shelf.
Exactly.
So you go down. I remember, my old man would come in with me and be like, Dad, they have SummerSlam 95. Like, we have to get this. And you'd look at the price, and it's like $2. You'd be like, all right, that's fine, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
He'll keep you out of my hair tonight.
Exactly.
That was always the best time that I got to rent wrestling tapes, was when my mom would go to town. Often she'd take my sisters. They'd go on some like shopping trip to Buffalo or some shit. I don't know. And my dad would be having his buddies over for poker / a lot of beer. And so we'd go to the video store, and he'd be like, do you want to get like Batman Returns? And be like, all right. And then like four wrestling tapes. And so that'd be my, he's like, didn't you get this one last month? I'm like, yeah.
I actually recently asked my parents moved out to Kelowna several years ago now. They retired out there. And I asked them, I was like, do you have any of my old VHSs? And my dad's like, well, let me look. And he looks, he's like, yeah, Best of Shawn Michaels. I was like, you have to send me that.
I need to watch that right now. Yeah.
Exactly. And then I need to go find a VHS player because I do not have one of those. Right.
So like you, the first one I remember watching live, and I'd have been 9. I'm a little bit older than you, but we were at a friend of my parents' place. But my friend, I had a friend over there who was the same age as me, and her dad were big into wrestling. So like when they were having us over, if there was a show on, he would order it, or that would be the reason we'd go. But there was only like a few of us that were really into it, and it was that 92 Rumble. And so I watched that one live and thought it was awesome, but this, the way a 9 or 10 year old does, right? Like, you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
I barely knew who Ric Flair was. We never got WCW TV in Canada.
Sure.
So
yeah.
So that's the big one. But later on, and my dad would always humor me when our neighbor would get the pay-per-view tapes for me and bring them over like a couple days later or whatever. He'd watch them with me until this one. We watched the one that stands out to me the most is Royal Rumble 94. And that had Bret and Owen versus the Quebecers for the tag titles. And then the title match before the Royal Rumble match was Yokozuna versus The Undertaker. And then a bunch of guys came out. It was a casket match. And they put The Undertaker in the casket. And then he levitated to heaven.
And that's right.
Because wrestling, right? That's the thing that might happen. Right?
Pretty standard storyline.
Right. And so I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you know, there's a camera that's supposed to be in the casket. Clearly, it's a pre-tape. The Undertaker talks like he's been dead and says he won't rest in peace. And then this body levitates out of the casket on like a zip line. I believe it's Marty Jannetty dressed in the Undertaker's outfit. And they pull him up to the rafters because he's gone to heaven or whatever. Yeah,
the Undertaker went to heaven.
Yes. Yeah. My dad had watched that entire show with me. And then when that happened, he didn't say anything. He just got up and walked out of the room. I'm sure it was, I've seen enough of this, right? So, but that was a classic Rumble because I was as a kid, I was a Bret Hart guy, right? And nobody took an ass kicking like Bret Hart, right? He was, at that point, he's the top guy. And so he comes out. And he's got the busted knee from Owen kicking his leg out of his leg earlier in the night.
Nice, nice reference.
Thank you.
Kicking his leg out of his leg. Very nice.
And so it's Bret Hart and Lex Luger, the final two, and they tumble over the top rope at the same time. Both guys have their feet apparently hit the floor at the same time. That was, in hindsight, again, I don't know this in 1994, some incredibly good camera work by the production team there. That was all Bret.
Yeah. If you ask Luger or anybody else who produced that event now, that was Bret
just being good.
It was all Bret being that good in order to make sure that he and Lex touched at the exact same time.
But the camera work, even right to they had set up on both sides and like, oh, on this end the camera, we can't see who touched first because, and you know, just in case Bret had screwed it up or Luger.
Exactly, yeah.
The post is in the way. And then from this angle, the bottom rope is in the way. And then and they had protected it so well. And then eventually they would show the one where they both landed once they, you know, have cleared that, yeah, they both touched at the same time. And then the whole thing was, because you can do this in wrestling, which you can't in most sports, it was a test of the audience, right? So first they announce Lex is the winner and the ref holds his arm up and the crowd gives kind of this lukewarm reaction. And then they can announce, actually, no, we think it's Bret who's the winner and his music plays and they hold his arm up and it's a much bigger reaction. And then Vince goes, okay, there's my guy. That's who's going to challenge for the title at WrestleMania. And it's just, you know, to test what the audience wants to see right now. And so I didn't know at the time, obviously, that that's what they were doing. But that one stands out to me at 10 or 11 years old at the time of being like, man, that's my favorite Rumble, right? And it's in such a dark time for wrestling, like 94, 95. They're kind of floundering a little, but those are my key years.
Absolutely. Outside of Bret, really, there wasn't a lot going on.
No.
Especially because that Rumble led to Bret Owen at WrestleMania 10.
Yep.
Such a good match. And Owen winning.
It's my favorite Mania match ever.
And then Bret wrestles later on in the night and beats Yokozuna to win the WWF Championship. So just like, what a spectacular.
And then that show ends, because you're right, Bret and Owen wrestle to start that show, and Owen wins. And Owen is playing the spoiled brat, jealous of his older brother. Like, that's his gimmick at that point. Owen beats Bret, but because Bret won the Rumble, he gets the shot at Yokozuna later in the night. Bret beats Yoko, wins the title. All the wrestlers come down to the ring. They're putting Bret up on their shoulders and celebrating. And the final shot is of Owen just standing in the aisle, just seething. And and he's playing this whiny shit character, but at the same time, it's true. Like, you look at him and go, I just beat you. How am I standing here? And it's this brilliant storytelling of, you know, for wrestling nerds like us. If people are still listening, that's because they're wrestling nerds like us too at this point. But that was such a great story to just be like, you want to hate Owen, but at the same time, you're looking at him going, I get it, man, right? Like, you'd already beat that guy, and that guy's standing there being celebrated by the crowd in the locker room, and he's wearing the belt, and you'd just be friggin' losing your mind, right? And it was so good, man.
Justifiably so, too. I believe that year, via tons of different awards. Brett Owen won Feud of the Year because they went on to have Matt King of the Ring. Owen became King of the Ring, so he became the King of Hearts.
Yep.
And then they finally went on to have a championship match, a cage match at SummerSlam, and like, holy shit, that cage match was amazing between Brett and Owen. Again, it just shows you too, just cause, like, we're a couple of good Canadian kids here. Brett and Owen, those guys remain like two of the top wrestlers of all time, just in ring performers, technicians, just top tier.
Yeah.
Nobody competes with them these days.
As we kind of move through and get ready to talk about this year, you know, we've both kind of mentioned the actual events that stand out, but every year there's surprises, right? There's a guy you didn't expect to see or a turn or, you know, just there's always some cool stuff you can slide in there. One of the ones that stands out to me is the arrival of AJ Styles. I believe it was 2014, 2015. He had been a long time TNA guy, had competed in other territories before showing up, and the crowd reaction when that guy showed up for the first time ever on WWE TV at the Royal Rumble was a tremendous reaction. So that's one that stands out to me. Edge last year comes out of retirement and gets a monster of a reaction. That was a stadium Royal Rumble. Any kind of ones like that that stand out to you? Just kind of throwaway surprise, I shouldn't call them throwaway, but like surprises that they always kind of add. Any of those that stand out to you as favorites?
Yeah, sure. I would say that the AJ Styles, in relation to the AJ Styles appearance 5 years ago now, AJ finished his run in TNA. He went out to New Japan. He was the leader of the Bullet Club for a while. I think that you could see something very similar this year in the leader of the Bullet Club right now, Jay White. His contract is reportedly up with New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Okay.
After the New Year's Dash event, he said that he's quitting. He's quitting New Japan, and there's still no word on whether he actually has signed or not. So we could, you know, I could just be a mark that is totally buying into all this. But I also think that he is legitimately being pursued by WWE, and a couple of the people that I know that are in the business that I've talked to have said that, like, that's a very real possibility that Jay White could certainly is being, I don't know what Jay White is thinking, but apparently those in WWE are interested in Jay White.
And they suddenly have some money from Peacock to spend on some new guys.
It's absolutely right. you know, Vince's checkbook, it's pretty big.
Yeah.
So you could see something like that, a big time surprise, like a guy. I don't think that Jay White necessarily is the same name value that AJ Styles did, because AJ was wrestling in North America, in America specifically, for TNA Impact Wrestling for 15 years, it felt like. And so the audience somewhat knew his name. I don't know the audience knows Jay White's name as much, Switchblade Jay White, but I still think that the hardcore wrestling fans, they will certainly know who he is if he comes out. And I think that there's a really real possibility that he could. So the hardcore Mark wrestling fans like myself, I will be losing my mind if I see him show up.
Right. Do you think, you know, in terms of legends or old school WWE, you know, you could throw anybody, I guess, under the doink face paint, or I was joking around on Twitter earlier about maybe IRS, who I know works backstage as an agent. Maybe he could, you know, do you see, over the years, we've seen Diesel come back and get a huge reaction in 2010 or whatever that would have been. We've seen Jericho return that way. You know, we've seen legends in the past come back and do this sort of thing. Do you think there's anyone that, you know, stands out to you from in-house or from their past that might, you know, that seems like an obvious guy to, whether it be serious or kind of a joke, that might slide in there?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually talked about this on Aftermath that you'll be able to find on the Sportsnet YouTube page coming up.
Nice.
Santino Marella actually thought that Kevin Nash would be a really good surprise coming back. He gets a good pop every single time that he comes out. It's cool to see him. And it's also really cool to see that Kevin Nash is also like a pretty good dude too, outside of the ring. I just never would have thought that his personality, he'd be just kind of
Because he's got that reputation, right, of being kind of a dick in the locker room, but you follow him on Twitter and whatever, you're like,
He's got like a very progressive mind, which is really cool, and just like something that you just, I didn't see coming.
Busted with the hair dye to make that happen this Sunday.
It'd be cool. It'd be cool to see Kevin Nash. I definitely think that's a possibility. IRS, yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. I mean, he's already there, and with COVID protocols, you never know. You just, who's around? Well,
that's true. I haven't considered that part. Yeah.
And he can cut the best heel promo in the business and get everyone to boo him by just saying, pay your taxes.
That's
everyone,
true.
Boo, no, I don't want to. It's fantastic. Yeah. So, I mean, those old guys have definitely come back. I think they've retired the doink gimmick.
Okay.
I'm not sure they're going to do doink anymore, but I mean, never say never.
Right.
And also, I mean, Shawn Michaels is out of retirement now. He wrestled that one-off match in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, so I wish you never know. Maybe Sean comes out. I mean, Triple H just wrestled a match randomly on Raw, so I mean, he could come back. There's a lot of possibilities.
You know, we don't have to go through the entire card, but give us the highlights. Obviously, there's the men's and women's Royal Rumbles. We can kind of delve into them a little bit in a second, but beyond that, kind of what are the big matches on the card this weekend, and what stands out to you as something that you know is really interesting.
Well, there's one match that's interesting, if not sad.
Okay.
So, Drew McIntyre, I love that guy.
Subtitle for the entire Talk and Audio podcast. Interesting, but sad.
Drew McIntyre is the current WWE champion, and I love that guy. Yeah. He's truly an awesome, awesome champion. We talked to him back when I used to do when we had the Top Turnbuckle podcast for Sportsnet. We had the chance to talk to Drew, and he's like a super, super personable guy.
Right.
Like, he's very easy to talk to, very relatable. And he's just so natural in talking to you. Like, he really draws you in. He's spectacular. He's a really good champion, I think. Having said that, he's taking on Goldberg, which is just going to be fucking brutal. And the lead up has not been good. And actually, Santino said it this week on Aftermath. And so I'll quote Santino, Anthony Corelli. But when he said that, it's a lose-lose situation. I mean, Drew beats Goldberg. He beat an old man. Drew loses to Goldberg. And you have this old dude who's beating the monster that you've been building up as this incredible champion, a fantastic champion. And you have this old dude beating him. So, like, what are we doing here? Goldberg is there to draw some eyeballs. And I get that. But it's just not the same anymore. If you're trying to gain interest among old fans with Goldberg,
was last relevant 20 years ago.
So they run video packages explaining who Goldberg is and what he used to be. So that's explaining to the new fans who he is. The old fans who are watching be like, I fucking know. I was there.
I was 10 years old.
I was watching this. I remember this guy. Yeah. And I remember by the end of his run, I didn't really like him.
Right.
So why does he keep coming back? Goldberg does not need to be there. So anyways, that match is going to suck. Okay. I really hope Drew just squashes him. And that's the end of that. The other championship match is a last man standing match for the WWE Universal Championship, which Roman Reigns currently holds. He's taking on Maryville, Quebec, Canada's Kevin Owens. And that should be a really good match. So they've had a couple of pay-per-view matches now. They've both been really good. Reigns is performing as the best wrestler in the company, I think. He's been spectacular in everything that he does. KO has been, this feels like it's a placeholder feud going into WrestleMania where Reigns will transition to somebody else, but it's been really good. Everything that they've been presenting, it's been on SmackDown. SmackDown has been by far the better show over the last several months, and Reigns and KO have a big reason to do with that.
There's nothing for me. There hasn't been anything better on their TV in years than what they finally did with Roman. And Roman Reigns, for those who don't know, and he was the chosen one. He was going to be the next big face, right? He was going to be the good guy. Yes. And everyone hated it. It felt like you were being, at some point, the fans just revolted. But at the same time, you were being force fed this thing that you didn't like. And for years, it was just turn him heel. And they would not do it. He's going to be the good guy. And he finally comes back this past summer. He had taken some time off. with the COVID thing because he's had some health concerns of his own. And when he came back, they turned him into a bad guy. And it's been awesome television. He's been so good in that role, right? And he calls himself the head of the table now, right? And he's just got this, all those things that you loved to hate about him before are making him this great bad guy now, right? So I think it's fantastic, and he's been maybe my favorite thing to watch. I love Kevin Owens. I think he's a good talker. He's a good worker, all these things, but I don't think there's any chance, obviously, like you said, that they're going to change the title here, but
no, I don't think so.
But it's been spectacular television to watch what they've turned Roman into.
Yep. I mean, suspend your disbelief in thinking that these two dudes are just going to beat the shit out of each other, and that's what they're doing.
Right.
And it's been really, really good. It's been the best thing on WWE television, these two.
Yeah.
Other stuff is there's a WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match, Asuka and Charlotte Flair versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. I don't know, like that.
Yeah.
Seems the whole women's tag team division is not very good.
No.
Mostly because there's like, they put the belts on the best two wrestlers in the division. You know, it's just like, who the hell's going to beat these two?
Yeah.
Whatever. That match could be fun. It could be okay. I don't know. Maybe I'm not giving enough credit. And then you have the women's and men's Rumbles matches, which should headline the show. I mean, I think the women's will kick off the show and then the men's will headline. I think that's what's going to happen.
Last I looked, and that was Tuesday morning, so after Raw, but there will be a go-home SmackDown on Friday night. There were 18 spots left to fill in the women's match, and I think it's awesome. I think this is the fourth year. I think it started in 2018 that they did the Women's Rumble. So you're bound to see some surprises. What percentage of that do you expect? And obviously you're not going to be able to say it's 57%, Matt. How much of this will be kind of returning legends that they've kind of packed this thing with in the past year, you know, maybe a Trish Stratus or a Lita or something like that, versus, you know, some up and comers, some people out of developmental at NXT, just, you know, kind of people who haven't been doing much on the you know, on television lately. Like, kind of, how do you expect them to fill those? Like, that's a lot of, it for some reason, the women's division right now feels a little depleted. You know, as we talk about the women's match, how much of that do you expect them to lean on nostalgia versus, you know, just kind of, yeah, here's some people.
So, I mean, it's tough to say this year just because of all the COVID protocols. Yeah. You had the Legends Night on Raw 3 weeks ago or whatever that was, and some women's legends did come back. Tori Wilson was there. It wouldn't surprise me if Tori Wilson was in the Rumble.
Right.
She is in the Florida area. I think anybody who's kind of in the Florida area, they'll give a call to and they'll say, hey.
It does seem to be a bit of a homing beacon for wrestlers. They do like to settle in Florida.
That's right. So it could be a lot of that. I think you're going to see a lot of NXT talent, which will be good because you need to, in response to your comments about the women's division being depleted, yes, it is. Yeah. And it's showing because there's not a lot of top tier talent. Asuka versus Alexa Bliss right now is the feud for the Raw Women's Championship. Mm-hmm. And just like, it drives me nuts that they're making it look like Asuka couldn't beat the shit out of Alexa Bliss because it looks like Asuka could kill anybody legitimately.
Yes. No, she looks like a killer. She's
yes. Yeah, exactly. And then on the SmackDown side, you have Sasha Banks versus Carmella. And like, I don't buy Carmella as a champion. No. There aren't a lot of women in that division that I buy as a champion, like Sasha, Asuka, Charlotte,
Bailey,
and Bianca Belair is getting there.
Sure,
I think.
Yeah, and I'd throw Shayna in there.
Shayna, absolutely, yes. Yeah. Shayna, they need to separate. They need to get her out of the tag stuff immediately and just have her go back to being a badass MMA person.
Right.
So you need to showcase some of the NXT talent, and there is a lot of good NXT talent, namely Rhea Ripley, who I think is a future star. If she hasn't already proven it, she will be a future star. She's in like her early to mid 20s still. And she is definitely on a path to stardom. You got Io Shirai, who's the NXT Women's Champion right now. I think that she's got a super, super bright future. Tony Storm is another name you got to keep your eye on. Casey Catanzaro is really good in NXT. There's a lot of women down in NXT that I think could make a huge, huge impact. And you need to showcase, you can use this opportunity with the Women's Rumble that seems like there's a lot of open space to showcase that opportunity. And I think you're going to do that with Rhea Ripley. I'm hoping they're going to do that with her.
Right. On the men's side, we've seen, again, as of Tuesday morning, there were 12 open spots. You know, they're going to hold a couple of those as surprises or legends or whatever it might be. We saw that Edge will be entering the Rumble again.
Yeah.
He was the big
Orangeville, Ontario's finest.
Yes. And he was the big surprise last year. And as we mentioned earlier, got a huge pop when he came out. There had been rumors that he may or may not return, but you didn't know for sure. And then, you know, when that music hit and he came out last year, it was fantastic. How do you see that kind of being spliced up? Maybe, you know, we did touch on this about legends and whoever might come back in. Could you see, besides Jay White, you know, one big kind of out of company or someone who maybe has just been off the radar a little bit, a surprise entrant that way? Or will this kind of be more of a, you know, we'll fill it out with our usual roster?
So I think that there will be, again,
there's always somebody that slips your mind, right? And you're just like, oh, cool.
Yeah. And you kind of go, oh, yeah. Like, oh, that's interesting. Like, I don't know. Like, oh, geez. Someone like
Andrade to kick him over the top rope.
Yeah.
I know
exactly.
It's cool to see you, but I know you're not winning this, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, it wouldn't surprise me if the, like, Santino's sunking us all right now. And, like, he'll. And like all of a sudden,
had
Santino
to leave the aftermath set to go right to Tampa.
Yeah, exactly. Because last year he did just that. It was Santino, or I shouldn't say Santino did that because I don't know what Santino was doing.
Wrong,
but no. Santino Morella was
course,
in the women's
yeah.
Rumble. Yeah. So, but then that's Santino's sister. So yes. I mean, you know, you never know who could show up down there. But
right.
In all reality, it's going to be tough for them to get a bunch of people down there. I think that you're going to see a lot of in-house talent right. That it's going to be in this Rumble. They won't rely as heavily on legends this year. You have the NXT talent. They're all right there. It's time to showcase some of that NXT talent. You know, I feel like you're going to see some, like you did last year, you'll see some of the big stars like Adam Cole. Maybe Finn Balor is going to come in.
Yeah.
You're the NXT champion. That's a good opportunity to promote that brand. A couple of other big NXT talents, like somebody else from the Undisputed Era, like Kyle O'Reilly. I think sure. That he could be in there. Johnny Gargano. Kyle O'Reilly from Delta BC, by the way. Good
hey,
Canadian kid.
Nice.
And then somebody like Tommaso Ciampa. I mean, you could see like other very under-the-radar dudes like Bronson Reed. He's been making an impact in NXT. There's a lot of good NXT talent that I think they could use the Royal Rumble to elevate. But having said that, they're definitely going to throw in a few surprises. I mean, you could pick anybody. You could pick.
Do you think COVID is? Sure. There you go. Do you think COVID is a hindrance there? Like, do they have protocols? I know they have protocols when they're actually on set and how they're doing these things. Do you think it's sort of a, you know, people will be hesitant or they don't want to bring new people into that backstage area? Or do you think COVID is impacting this at all?
I'm not going to say it's not impacting it, but they're WWE is definitely cognizant of it. But I think like any business operating in Florida right now, it's more lax than anywhere else in Canada or the United States. But WWE is definitely aware of it. And I'm not sure if their attitudes have changed since they had that Legends Night. They brought in a bunch of people. Drew tested positive for their champion, Drew McIntyre, tested positive for COVID and like putting his status of the Royal Rumble in jeopardy, which would be,
we didn't really know till last night that he was for sure back in.
Exactly. So they're definitely cognizant of it, but somebody will come back. I mean, also here's somebody who could come back with Edge coming back last year and Christian being involved in WWE television this year via just on-air promo segments.
Yep.
Christian could come back. Everyone's asking for Christian to
lives there in Florida.
Make a comeback. And he definitely could because he was someone similar who said he's never going to wrestle again because of injury. Edge said the same thing. Yep. Lo and behold, there he is. Christian could come back too.
Why don't you give me, you know, an insider's guess or an educated guess based on where you think they're going storyline wise for, you know, what makes sense as a winner in both the men's and the women's Rumbles.
So WrestleMania this year will be two nights
back in Tampa, I believe.
Yep. Back at Raymond. They're doing Raymond James Stadium again. It's going to be a two night event. I, as far as I know, you're going to have at least two big matches mm-hmm. on each show to promote both shows, to make sure that you can try and get as many eyeballs as you possibly can. And I believe they're going to try and sell tickets to this thing too. So if you're going to have WrestleMania on two nights, do you want to go to night one or two? Well, you want to say both nights are equally as awesome.
Yeah.
So you got to have two kind of big events on both shows. So you got to have your big stars for both shows. Daniel Bryan seems like one of those stars. Daniel Bryan has been a star in the past. He's had a big WrestleMania moment in the past. The Yes Movement is still within the popular cultural realm of something that people recognize. So I think Daniel Bryan winning the Royal Rumble makes a lot of sense, just based on the fact that he does have a lot of star power.
Mm-hmm.
They've been promoting it via storyline that he's never won the Rumble, so there's a very real possibility that he could do that. And then you could also go with somebody pretty noteworthy like a Randy Orton. Randy Orton is still, he's still got a lot of eyeballs to him. He's still got a lot of noteworthiness.
People on fire. He's going to have to be careful.
Well, he showed up on Raw on this past Raw. His face was all kind of mangled, but you know, he's there. He RKO'd Alexa Bliss, which was,
she had it coming.
Yeah, apparently she did. I mean, kept lighting his face on fire.
Honestly, that's just rude.
Yeah, I think that the Rumble winner will be somebody who already carries name appeal, just because you gotta sell a pair of nights for WrestleMania this year. It can't be somebody. I would love to see Keith Lee win the Rumble.
Yeah,
I would love to see Big E win the Rumble, because like those two dudes, I love Big E. That guy should have already been a WWE champion. Keith Lee is definitely a future WWE champion. It's just a matter of.
Even if he doesn't win, I guess we can leave. Do you expect we'll see Brock Lesnar on Sunday?
No. I don't. I think that Brock is hanging out in Saskatchewan hunting on his ranch with Sable.
Okay. Well, you know, worst place to hang out with worst people.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not a bad way to go. All right. No. So we aren't going to see Brock. But we do know if you're trying to load up a two-night, you know, WrestleMania, it doesn't mean he has to come in and win the Rumble. No. But Brock, that would
will
be
take,
a name.
Brock will take a paycheck to come in for one night, and like he could cut promos on his ranch.
Yes.
They could send Paul Heyman up to the ranch and just say, oh, you know, I'm here with my client.
Yes.
And then Brock will come down for Brock will come down for a 4-minute match, and that'll sell some tickets. And that's all they need from him.
Sure. So not this Sunday, we won't see him.
I really do not anticipate Brock Lesnar being there. But okay. If I'm wrong, I mean, come back and yell at me.
That seems like overkill. But on the women's side, Charlotte looks to be the biggest name in the Rumble on that side of it. Do you expect that that's where they're going to go in order to set something up for Mania? Or is there somewhere else that they'll be looking to push?
Yeah, so both Nug and Jimmy on Aftermath, they both said that Charlotte winning would be really cool, because especially Charlotte wins, you know, she's in a kind of a feud with Lacey Evans right now, who is using Ric Flair as a mentor.
Yeah.
They're saying it's a mentor, but we all know what they're winking at here. Charlotte could eliminate Lacey, and Charlotte could go on to challenge Asuka, her tag team partner right now. Like, that seems like a pretty straightforward storyline, easy to understand. I think that Bianca Belair has a really good chance of winning. She's a star.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, I think her show that they recently released on the WWE Network is really good.
Yeah.
It showcases a whole other side of Bianca Belair, and I think that she has a ton of star power in the future. They just got to let her be herself more. Yeah. She's very, very packaged right now as
right.
a very narrow, straightforward character. Just let her expand a little. She could eliminate Bayley last, who she's been feuding with on SmackDown, and that could set in motion Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks. Like, that's a lot of personality, which would be really good.
Yeah.
Anybody else outside of that? I mean, Alexa could surprise. She seems like when she morphs
they're
into
really
this
high on her, right? Like,
this one's, she, I don't know, she goes into like the sorceress character now, and she all it's of a sudden weird. She's unbeatable. So you never know. She could win, but outside of that, I don't see a lot of, no, I don't see like Becky, there. I don't see Becky Lynch returning.
No.
I don't see Ronda Rousey returning.
All right.
I don't see any big other, like Trish isn't coming down from Toronto where she lives to go to this thing.
Right.
I don't know where Lita lives, but I'm not sure Lita's coming back to win the Royal Rumble.
No. And that, those are the ones that seem like
it's a short list.
Yeah. Those are the ones who seem both on the men's and the women's side, like it's going to be harder to get that surprise. If they're coming in long term, right? Like if Trish, and this isn't happening, but for example's sake, if Trish was getting involved, might win the thing, and was going to be involved in a title match at Mania, then maybe it's worth coming down and quarantining and whatever all these things have to happen to get her into the bubble. But I think that's where you see the pandemic taking effect, is these one-offs. Who knows where these people are? Do they want to get involved and fly and come back? I think that's where, you know, you start to lose some of those. Hey, look, there they are for one night only. And you're like, yeah, I'm not going down there for one night only. Like, it's just,
yeah, exactly.
There, right.
You, so you say, you show them a check and you say, you come down here for this much. You'd be like, well, then I got to come down there for 2 weeks.
It, yeah.
And then I got to come home and quarantine for another two weeks.
Yeah. It should be paying me for a month.
Time.
Yeah. All right. So to me, it's, I don't know. I'm sure I'll watch it, but I'm less intrigued in this Rumble maybe than ones in the back. And I've just, if I'm being honest, it's just been harder without the crowd. Like I keep watching some of the highlights from the last year or so, and I'm like, they've done some cool stuff, and I give them credit for what they've been able to pull off through the pandemic. But then you watch, and especially today, because I believe as we record this, I believe today was the 1 year anniversary of last year's Rumble. And so that was Edge and that huge pop when that music went off, and you're just like, oh man, like that's what it's supposed to look like, right? Like that's half of the fun of this, is the atmosphere and the surprises. And now it's just, here they are running down to an empty thing. And I know at Mania, they're looking to sell some tickets and stuff. I'll watch it, but I'm less enthused than I have been in previous years. I know you follow it more closely than I do, you know, maybe compared to previous years, what's your enthusiasm level for the Royal Rumble this year?
Oh, the fact that there's no audience definitely hurts big time. I mean, the Rumble is also one of the most hardcore audiences of the year. It's the Rumble. It's the night after WrestleMania. Those are like the hardcore audiences. Yeah. And I feel like that is definitely going to be lost this year. The impact that an audience can have cannot be understated. We don't even know who's over anymore, really.
No.
I mean, you have to judge by internet, whether somebody talks about somebody on the internet a lot.
Like the
jokes
that people make about wrestling are legit, that it's fake fighting, whatever, but you always go, yeah, but whatever, and you feel like you're in a mob, right, when there's a crowd that's all digging it, and now you're just like, oh yeah, no, you're right, it's just two guys in an empty building rolling around and jumping on each other.
Exactly. Yeah, two dudes in tights rolling on each other having a play fight. It's tough to suspend your disbelief sometimes. So it, you know, maybe WWE is something up their sleeve for Tropicana Field this coming Sunday, but it's going to be interesting. And you hope that by number seven coming out, all of a sudden you're not thinking like, all right, this is getting old.
Right. I guess then as we wind it down, you know, your enthusiasm, you said the crowd hurts it, but you know, on a 1 to 10,
For the Rumble, just because it's the Rumble, I mean, I'll put myself at a 7.
All right.
Between a 7 and 8. Like, I'm still pretty fired up for it. I'm going to enjoy watching it. I'm going to be blogging about it for Sportsnet. I think the Aftermath guys and I were going to be doing a quick video afterwards to talk about it. So the fact that, like, I'm still doing some stuff and contributing things, I'm thinking about it more, you know, it does make me feel a little better about it.
Sure.
But we'll see what kind of atmosphere Tropicana Field, the Thunderdome, brings on Sunday.
Yes. So what else? Tell us what you've got coming up, what you might be putting up for Sportsnet leading up to it, where they can find your work, and, you know, as you said, maybe a little bit of the aftermath stuff after it's finished, but tell us what you got coming up.
For sure. So every week I'm part of the Aftermath crew with Santino Morella / Anthony Corelli, Jimmy Corderas, and Nug Nargang, where we review a bunch of WWE stuff in the week that was. This week for the Royal Rumble, I'll be doing a preview where I'm going to give three predictions of who I think could actually win. Then I'll give three kind of really off the wall predictions, just something stupid for each Rumble match.
This is KBBL. We're giving away something stupid.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think an elephant's going to win.
Nice.
They're playing with a Where's My Elephant song.
I love that song.
And then I'll be doing a live blog the day of the show, and I'll have a recap after that. And then I've got an article in the works talking about independent wrestlers and the life that is during the pandemic and what they're doing, talking to a bunch of different people, a couple different guys in the Toronto area. I'm trying to get in touch with the Voros twins. And if you don't know who they are, they had a very viral video earlier in the pandemic where they were the two dudes who, they go, a question comes up on your head and then you have to say like, who painted the Mona Lisa? And then it says Da Vinci, but these two twins who are from Vancouver, they went Da Vinci. If you've seen that video, that's who these guys are. They're actually also independent wrestlers.
Okay.
So I've been talking to a few different independent wrestlers about life during the pandemic and what's going on. So I'll have that article be out sometime in February, I imagine. So that stuff. And I'm Sportsnet 360 every single night. I'm voicing highlights. Watch
You'll
Sportsnet
hear
360.
Kevin,
best
sure.
highlights in the biz.
I always get really stoked to talk to Kevin because he's one of the very few people who's willing to come on here and talk wrestling, or who I want to come on here and talk wrestling. I used to be so big into it, and I still, like, it's not like I'm out of it. I can't watch, and you and I talked a little bit before we started. It's just, Raw's 3 hours. It's too long. I can't do it. And then no crowd has hurt me, too. So I'm not one of these guys who says I'm too cool for wrestling. I love wrestling, but I just, right now, it's hard for me to follow. But when we get on and we're able to do shows like this and talk about some of the old stuff a bit too, I get jacked up for that. And I know we have a lot of listeners who are like that too. And we have some casual listeners who don't admit to being into wrestling, but I see the download numbers. I know when you people are listening, and I will find you and I will make you admit that you love the wrestling as well. So
you just got to embrace what you like.
Yeah.
You can't be shy about certain music that you like anymore. Like, you can't say that, like, oh, My Chemical Romance, like, that's emo shit. Like, fuck that. My Chemical Romance is awesome, and you should embrace every kind of music that you like. Don't
exactly.
be embarrassed about what you like.
Exactly,
just embrace
man.
It. Enjoy it.
No, it's true. And so we will share the some of the links that that Kevin has coming out here and the stuff he puts up for Sportsnet. And hopefully you'll be willing to come on here and do this again as we approach WrestleMania. I know there's always a show or two in between where they try and make you believe they're changing plans and these sorts. And sometimes they do, I guess. But we'll see where that...
Slane.
Anything. Yes, exactly. The fast lane. We'll see where things head. But ideally, we can do this again before Mania. I guess before we get out of here, what was your... Flamingosa final thoughts? Did you dig it?
It was great. Again? Yeah, it was really good. It's only 4.3%. So... goes down real smooth, easy. You can have a couple of them too. It's not such an overbearing taste that you have one. You're like, that was pretty, like, that was too sweet.
Right.
As they say in the wrestling business,
yes,
too sweet.
I love that.
it's very easy drinking, and I could consume a second of them if I really wanted to, which I probably will tonight.
All right. Well, I don't want to keep you from that, and I don't want to keep the good listener from whatever they're doing. This is, like I said, one of my favorite weeks of the year. Love the Rumble. It's
Rumble
always going to be, yeah, I mean, it's just, there's just something crazy about it. Right. And to me, maybe more than Mania, just because of the crazy novelty of the Rumble match itself, this is their Super Bowl or their whatever, where, like you said, guys around the Sportsnet newsroom who maybe aren't typically into wrestling will jump in and go, oh yeah, I remember the Rumble. Like, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Is your pool, like, you draw a number and then you get the guy who comes out for that number, or how's your pool work?
So the way I do it is 15 people, you get two numbers each.
Okay.
And if I just randomly draw numbers for whomever is in the pool, I just use a computer to do it.
Right.
And then if you can win half the pot by way of your wrestler winning or by way of your wrestler eliminating the most wrestlers.
Okay.
You can win one of two ways. Cause I mean, you know, you're watching and Slater comes out in your number. You're like, well, come on. Like, this guy's not winning. Or like Hornswoggle comes out. And you're like, no chance I'm winning. So you gotta give yourself something to root for. If a dude comes out and like you think he won't win, but he could eliminate a bunch of guys. Very possible.
All right.
That's how it works.
I got to find a way here. We're going to let the rest of you listeners go. I got to find a way to get Kevin to let me into his pool here. But thank you so much for doing this, man. Like I said, we'll share the links, and we hope you'll come back and do this again when maybe you get your next shipment from out west or whatever happens there. But always love when you come on. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, dude. Anytime.
That has been TCA number 782 with Kevin Mickey of Sportsnet. We will share his articles when they come out on our social media feeds at Tall Can Audio. He is on Twitter at Kevin.Mickey, I believe.
Just at Kevin Mickey.
At Kevin Mickey. And we will, well, whatever. You should follow him there.
Keep it simple for me. Keep it simple, stupid, as they say to me often.
See, that's his, he finished his beer. He's finally got ready to call me stupid. That's TCA 782 for Kevin Mickey. My name is Matt Robinson. We will see you all next time.
Now, if y'all ain't got nothing else for me to drink, I'm a haul ass. No, I'm serious. I'm about to haul ass if y'all have no better shit than this to drink.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.